As has been stated, today is St. Patrick's Day, and it's kind of rare when it happens on a Sunday. Many of you already know the story of St. Patrick, I know. But just for fun, let's take a little quiz. I'm going to give you 7 questions, and you keep track in your hand which is false and which is true. All right? We won't shout them out or anything. But let me just go through these questions. Number 1, St. Patrick was from Ireland. True or false in your own mind? Number 2, he was born on March 17th. Number 3, he was a Catholic saint. Number 4, he was famous for driving the snakes out of Ireland. Number 5, he used a shamrock to illustrate the Trinity. Number 6, his favorite color was green. Number 7, he enjoyed drinking beer. All right, you've probably kept a tally of which ones are true and which are false. The answer to all these questions is false. False. Unfortunately, much of what we think we know about St. Patrick is legend. Let's go through those one more time. He was not born in Ireland. He was born in Britain. That was then a part of the Roman Empire. His home village is no longer on the map, but most believe he was in England or Scotland or Wales. So he's not Irish, most likely British. Number 2, he was not born on March 17th. That's the date of his death. Most estimate his death to be about 461 AD. That's a long time ago, 461 AD. Number 3, he was not Catholic. He was born about 387 AD, less than 400 years after Christ lived. This is long before the Roman Catholic Church was officially established. According to the Moody Handbook of Theology, the official beginning of the Roman Catholic Church was in 590 AD with Pope Gregory I. He's the one that brought organization and structure and became the first universal pope. There'd been a loose structured church, more called like the Apostolic Church, but not until 590 did Pope Gregory make it an official Roman Catholic Church. And that is 129 years after Patrick died. So he wasn't Roman Catholic. There was no Roman Catholic. So he's actually part of the early Apostolic Church. By the way, nowhere in his teachings, which we have some of his teachings, is there any reference to any of the Catholic doctrines like purgatory and such, or infant baptism? None of that's mentioned. As a matter of fact, he baptized a lot of people, and he didn't baptize infants. He baptized by immersion. So really, St. Patrick is closer to being a Baptist than a Catholic. And by the way, same question, he was not a saint, at least not the way Catholics refer to saints, where they canonize certain ones. God calls all true believers saints. He calls you saints, so in that sense he's a saint. He was simply called a saint in the same way we say St. Peter or St. Paul or St. Nicholas. Actually, he was more like a missionary than a Catholic saint. Number 4, he did not drive snakes out of Ireland. The fact is there's never been snakes in Ireland. There's no fossil record of any snakes ever being in Ireland. It's like saying Columbus chased the kangaroos out of America. There's no kangaroos in America. No snakes in Ireland. This may be a way of referring to something he did do. He drove evil paganism out of Ireland. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Number 4, about the shamrock. Now, this one may or may not be true. Some say he used the shamrock or the three-leaf clover to illustrate the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we have no actual record in his own writings of this. This is tradition and legend. So it may be true that he did, but they always see pictures of him with the shamrock. Number 6, as for the color green, that was not his favorite color. His favorite color was blue. He's depicted wearing blue. It's called St. Patrick's blue, sky blue. It was a light blue. So green is associated with Ireland, the Emerald Isle. And as for drinking beer, We have no indication that he enjoyed beer over any other beverages. He may have drank beer, but we don't have that in writing. This is likely Satan's way of distracting us from the true meaning of St. Patrick's Day. Let's all get drunk with green beer. So today, since it is St. Patrick's Day, we're going to leave my series for a week and talk about St. Patrick, the truth about St. Patrick. We're talking about the life and the ministry of the patron saint of Ireland named Patrick. I want to introduce to you the man behind the myth. And then we'll draw some principles and some applications for our own lives. Most of what I'm sharing today comes from Patrick's own words. There are at least three pieces of literature written by Patrick that has survived to this day and has been translated into English. The one that gives the most details about his life and ministry is called The Confession of St. Patrick. It's like an autobiography. Here's what the English version of it looks like, The Confession of St. Patrick. Now, I also got some of the details from a sermon by the great Presbyterian pastor, Dr. D. James Kennedy. Do you remember Dr. D. James Kennedy? Wow, what a preacher he was. He passed away in 2007. But he did a lot of biographies and this, kind of the story behind this story. And he did one on St. Patrick. You can find it in YouTube if you wish. So for the next few minutes, I want you just to listen as I tell you the true story of St. Patrick. And then we'll draw some applications for our life, all right? Patrick was born into a rather well-to-do family. His father was a deacon. His grandfather was a pastor. So Patrick was a PK. What's a PK? A preacher's kid, and he lived up to that reputation. He was raised in a strong Christian home, but he admits in his writings that he was willful and rebellious. He resisted the religion of his family. He was more interested in pleasure and adventure. As a youth, he lived near the beach in the western coast of England, or possibly Wales. One day at age 16, he and two of his friends spent the day wading and swimming in the ocean. Afterward, they were resting in the mouth of a cave near the beach when suddenly they saw a group of Irish raiders walking towards the cave. The three boys leaped to their feet and ran, and they rushed right into the arms of the other half of the Irish pirates who were coming in the opposite directions, and they were captured. They were bound hand and foot and dragged aboard a ship with several hundred other young English boys and girls, and they were taken across the ocean to Ireland. That's how he got to Ireland, against his will, and then forced to march inland into Northern Ireland about 200 miles by foot. There, Patrick and the others were sold into slavery. Patrick was sold to a clan chieftain who was also a druid priest. This evil man had little concern for the lives of anyone, especially his slaves. The druids worshipped evil spirits. They were a pagan religion, and they were known even for human sacrifice. So Patrick's life was always in danger. With practically nothing to wear, Patrick was sent out to take care of the sheep and the pigs. His friends were taken away from him, so he was alone. He writes that he had two companions who never left him through the 6 years of slavery. They were cold and hunger. He called cold and hunger his companions for 6 years. 16-year-old boy, taking care of the animals out in the cold. He endured the most miserable form of servitude. His one friend during his captivity was a dog that helped him in his service. And we complain about the weather. We complain about hardship. During this time, he began to remember what his father, a deacon of the Celtic Church, had said to him. He said, "Patrick, there's a God who is able to deliver you." His father had talked about how God loved the world and had sent his son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. The gospel is the same gospel then as it was now. He'd heard all that and rejected it. In his confession, though, he says this. He said, "I prayed 100 times a day and almost as many at night. And the Lord opened the understanding of my unbelieving heart so that I could recall my sins. There, out in a field, all alone, without a church, without a pastor, without a parent, he committed his life to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Have you done that yet? Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Don't wait till you hit bottom. He waited until there was no other way to look but up. At last, after 6 years of slavery, in the middle of the night, Patrick had a dream. In the dream, he heard a voice that said, "Behold, your ship is ready." He woke up. There was nobody around. Where did he hear that voice from? It was in a dream. But he believed it was the voice of God. He escaped that night and walked 200 miles back to the ocean through the frigid forest. Finally arrived at the ocean. There he saw a ship loaded with Irish wolfhounds being taken for sale in Europe. He went over and told the captain that he'd been kidnapped as a youth and had been a slave in Ireland for the last 6 years. He begged the captain to give him transportation home, but he refused him and turned him away. Patrick walked up the beach, and when he got almost to the edge of the forest, a hand clapped down on his shoulder and spun him around saying, "Come back, boy." The captain changed his mind. It turns out that the crew had noticed Patrick talking to the dogs, and they seemed calmer when he was around, so he was brought back to help care for them in return for his passage. Isn't it wonderful how God works in mysterious ways? God calls him. Your ship is awaiting. He finds the opportunity to get on the ship. By the way, Irish wolfhounds are still part of the St. Patrick celebrations today. They're a big part of Irish lore. They sailed on to Gaul, which is France, where the dogs were sold. And then eventually he got over to England and finally was reunited with his family. Imagine the surprise when he walked through the door. He was not really a boy anymore. He had left at age 16. Now he was a 22-year-old rugged young man. Most people would have died for all the exposure Patrick had endured. But God had given him strength of body, strength of spirit. God met him in his trials. God met him in his trials. Sometimes that's when you meet God the best, is when you're going through hardship. He settled again in England. Patrick felt the call of God on his life, so he devoted himself to studying the scriptures in preparation for ministry. He tried to put the terrible slavery experience back out of his mind, out of his memory, but the people of Ireland kept coming back into his mind. One day, 20 years later, so now he's in his 40s, he had another dream of a man carrying letters. And from one of the letters, he heard a voice saying, "We beg you, holy youth, to come and walk once more among us." He'd made an impression as a young Christian slave, and now he hears this voice saying, "Come back, come back." He took that to be the call of God upon his life. A short time later, he set sail across the sea and landed back in Ireland. There he began to challenge the Druid chieftains with the claims of Christ. He realized that it wasn't enough to win just individuals. He had to go right to the centers of power, the Druid priests, the clan leaders. He took them on one after another. And for 30 years, he crisscrossed Ireland preaching the gospel, evangelizing the Irish was not an easy task. They regarded him with hostility and disdain. He was a foreigner, and worse yet, a slave. Despite the opposition, Patrick persevered in his missionary calling. I want to read to you a prayer of his. It's a whole page long, and I didn't even get it all in because there was so much here. But let me just read. You'll kind of get the heart and the attitude and realize what kind of spiritual warfare he was going through back in Ireland. This is from his confession, that magazine, that book that I showed you. Quote, "I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to secure me against the evil snares of the devil, against all temptations and vices, against inclinations of nature, against everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and anear, alone and in a crowd. I summon today all the powers between me and these evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and my soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of heathenry, against false laws of heretics, against the craft of idolatry, against the spells of witches, smiths, and wizards, against every knowledge that endangers man's body and soul. Christ, to protect me today against poisoning, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come an abundance and reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ is on my right, Christ is on my left, Christ in breadth, Christ in length, Christ in height, Christ in heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, to believe in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator. Salvation is of the Lord, salvation is of Christ. May thy salvation, O Lord, be ever with us. Amen. That's pretty powerful stuff. He made an impact on the world around him. He obviously went through a lot of spiritual warfare, but with God's help, he reached a nation, not just a community, not just a church, but a nation. Encyclopedia Britannica says that Patrick personally converted and baptized, listen now, 120,000 people. 120,000 people. He built over 300 churches. When he came to Ireland, it was a pagan nation. By the time he died, three decades later, it had become a Christian nation. All the dangers he faced, we saw that in his prayer, he died of an old age. He died of it as an old man, natural causes. He wasn't burnt. He wasn't martyred. He died a full life, full of ministry. Some believe that the legend of Patrick chasing snakes out of Ireland is symbolic of how he cleansed Ireland of paganism. Yet, despite all his victories, Patrick kept a sense of humility. He never considered himself a saint, but rather a sinner. Listen, this is his writing, how he introduced himself in the confession. He says, "My name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person, and the least of all believers." If he had his way, March 17th wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day. It'd be Sinner's Patrick Day. Listen to what else he said. He said, "I am certain of this. I was a dumb stone lying squashed in the mud. The mighty and merciful God came, dug me out, and set me on the top of a wall. Therefore, I praise him, not to render to him something for his wonderful benefits to me both now and in eternity." So if you want to admire Patrick for something, admire him for his humility and his sacrificial service towards others. That is the true story of St. Patrick, the great evangelist, great missionary to Ireland. That's the man behind all the myths. As we let this story settle in, let's pause and reflect on his life. I think we can learn some lessons from St. Patrick that will help us today. I'm going to suggest several life lessons learned from Patrick and reinforce these with a few scriptures. I'm going to kind of go chronologically through his life. Number one, I want to talk about lessons from St. Patrick's childhood years. We noticed in that story that he was raised in a Christian home. He had a Christian father and grandfather. So the logical lesson for us is, parents, you're Christians, your fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers, are you raising your children in such a way that they can know God? If they were separated from you in the Bible, would they understand enough about Christianity to be able to become a believer? Are you pointing them to Christ while they're young? Don't wait. Teach them as children. Last week we had baby dedications. We talked about we're going to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them early. Listen to Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The training Patrick received as a child stayed with him. When he didn't have a Bible or a church or a pastor, he still had the instruction of his parents in his heart. We also notice that Patrick rebelled against the faith during his teen years. He was more interested in adventure and pleasure. I think there's a lesson there for us. There's some teenagers here. Let me ask you, are you rebelling against your parents the way Patrick did his? Are you against their faith? Are you against God? Raising a Christian home doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. Have you chosen to make Christianity your own, Christ your own Lord, your own Savior, your own Master? The great wise man Solomon said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't put off coming to Christ. It'll only get harder as the years go by. That was lessons from St. Patrick's childhood years. Next, let's think about lessons from Patrick's slavery years. What can we learn from that? The natural reaction to hardship is to blame God. God, why did you let me do this? Why did you make this happen to me? But Patrick softened his heart and embraced God through his trials. There's an old proverb that says, the same sun that hardens the clay softens the wax. Do you have a heart of clay being hardened against God because of the circumstances in your life? Or do you have a heart that's soft and flexible, like wax? Trials can either harden us or they can soften us. And it softened Patrick. And the choice is ours. How we respond to our trials makes all the difference in the world. James tells us to consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. It says if we want to be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing, we want to be mature, we need to learn to respond correctly to our trials. Aren't you glad Patrick responded correctly? We all go through trials. It's how we respond to them that makes a difference. Let's respond like Patrick did with submission and surrendered heart. Notice too that during this time of slavery is when he heard God's voice. God spoke to him in the midst of his trial. I think God speaks louder to us in times of pain than in time of pleasure. God spoke to him in a dream about escaping and returning home. And he listened to that and followed it. Are you listening for God's still small voice? Are you perceptive of God's leading and direction? Are you tuned in to God's voice as you read the scripture? You're saying, God, speak to me. Let's move to the third category, lessons from Patrick's young adult years. After returning to England in his 20s, Patrick began to study the scriptures in depth to prepare himself for ministry. He spent 20 years studying the scripture, knowing that God had some ministry for him. Are you studying God's word? You don't know what God has in store for you, but you should be preparing for it. Whatever assignment he gives you, whatever mission he gives you, you'll be a better person if you study God's word between now and then. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study God's word. The Bible became Patrick's handbook. For 20 years, he studied it in preparation for ministry. The Bible should be our handbook. We should be in God's word regularly, not just for 30 minutes on Sunday, but every day. Let's go to the fourth category. Lessons from St. Patrick's return to Ireland. This is the most amazing part of the story, as you know. After all the abuse and suffering he endured, he was willing to return and minister among his captors, who should have been his enemies. Patrick was living out what Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say? Not just here, but all through the New Testament. He says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. He knew immediately what that meant and who that was. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's powerful words. He took it to heart. He said, I'm going to go bless and not curse. How do you treat those who have hurt you? Do you return hurt for hurt? Insult for insult? Evil for evil? If so, you will never reach anyone for Christ. That's the world's way of treating and responding. We need to put into practice what the Bible teaches. What we had in our scripture today in Romans 12, look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. 19, never take your own revenge. 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what Patrick did. He overcame evil with good. What would our community be like if we all did that? Maybe we'd be see the kind of revival in the mountains here that Patrick saw in Ireland. You know, I'm reminded of another teen in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, who was sold into slavery. What was his name? Joseph. Joseph. He too was mistreated and suffered unjustly. You know the story. He too lived as salt and light in a pagan culture. He too chose to forgive his brothers rather than to retaliate when he could have. He too changed his world, Egypt. He saved the world from famine by saving up the right food and listening to God. Listen to what Joseph said when his abusers came before him, his brothers stood before him. He says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. This could well have been Patrick's words. With God's help, he turned what was evil into something that was good. He overcame evil with good. Today, I hope you've been inspired by the true story of St. Patrick. It's amazing how God can take an insignificant, forgotten slave boy and use him to reach an entire nation. It gives us hope that God can use us. We're not overlooked. God knows our situation. God has a mission for you. God has a job, a calling you need to follow through with. I'm going to close this morning by again reading the last verse in Romans 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That to me is a summary of Patrick's life. With Christ's help, he didn't let evil overcome him. The evil of his tragic circumstances could have overcome him. The evil of the pagan culture around him, he could have given in. The evil of seeking revenge on his enemies, he didn't let evil overcome him. Instead, he surrendered his life fully to Christ, and as a result, he overcame evil with good. How about you? Are you being overcome by evil? Does sin have you in its grasp? Are you harboring bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness against someone who's hurt you? It's time, like Patrick, to surrender your life to Christ. to ask him to take full control and help you overcome evil with good. Amen? Father, thank you for this fantastic true story of Patrick. Lord, help us to make a difference in our world. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to overwhelm people with the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave you with a benediction. This is from the prayer of St. Patrick. Then we'll sing a song. Christ be with me, Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Let's stand together for a closing song.